There's been plenty of rumors swirling about potential trades involving Aaron Rodgers and Julio Jones this offseason. But here, you see why it makes sense for any potential deal to take place after 4 o'clock hits tomorrow. By waiting until that time, teams are then able to spread out their dead money cap charges across the next 2 seasons instead of just the 2021 league year. The clock is officially ticking to 4 p.m. tomorrow. And welcome into NFL Live alongside Mina Kimes, Ed Marcus Spears, and Kimberly Martin. I am Field Yates. And as the entire NFL world waits to see which team annies up for Julio Jones, one has come into focus. The Seattle Seahawks, is according to ESPN's own Diana Rossini, the Seahawks and Falcons have had discussions about a trade that would send the star wideout to Seattle, while Russell Wilson and Jones have spoken over the phone over recent weeks about the possibility of playing together. Russell Wilson isn't one to rely on his tight ends and running backs. In fact, he registered the league's best QBR when targeting wide receivers last season, completing over 70% of his attempts for 28 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions. It's important to keep in mind that Seattle did not have a first-round pick in 2021 and won't again in 2022 because of the Jamal Adams deal. So they could be, again, following the Rams model of just selling away those first-round picks for win-now pieces. I can see Mina Kimes, and she is already smiling about this possibility. Mina, is it smart for your Seahawks to try to get Julio Jones?
Is it smart, Field? Maybe not. Should they do it anyways? I think so. Or at least I think they should be on the phone. You know, we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers later in the show, as we do often these days, and the rift between him and the Packers, and what the organization could have done to avoid getting in this situation with their quarterback. Seattle, right now, has the opportunity to make moves to avoid going down that road that the Packers are in with Rodgers. And is it responsible? No, it's not responsible. You said it. I mean, they've already given away draft picks. From a cap perspective, I actually think they can afford it. Julio's not particularly expensive after this year, but the absence of young talent on that roster will cost them in the future. But it's not about the future when you got Russell Wilson and you want to make him happy and you want to compete now. And boy, would they compete with Julio Jones. This would be a top 3 offense in the NFL. And to me, that is their best path to a Super Bowl, is having a top 3 offense. So I think Seattle should definitely be in the mix. I don't know if it's realistic, but they should put in the call.
Yo, listen, Mina, when I playing in that league for 9 years, one thing that stood the test of time with a bunch of coaches in the NFL, what have you done for me lately? And every team that has an opportunity to get Julio Jones should do it. All right, and you know how I am about the cap. Let's not go there. Julio Jones with the Seattle Seahawks would catapult them to being the number one team in their division. Yes, I said it, because I believe that much in Russell Wilson. I believe that much in how much of a matchup nightmare that will be with him and DK Metcalf on the outside and Tyler Lockett in the slot, unguardable. You got 3 guys that's unguardable. And I know Jalen Ramsey is over there with the Los Angeles Rams, and Jalen can shut down one half of the field. But what do you do when you got 2 guys on both halves of the field? Do you have enough people? Mm-hmm. And when you look at this division that's built with really good defenses, if you're going to be Seattle the fourth ranked defense in this division, you better try to outscore people. I would feel very confident that Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett would be able to outscore people in this division. Julio in Seattle, you got to pick your poison, and whether you pick the poison to DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, you still going to get bit by that damn snake if they get Julio Jones.
Yeah. A.J. Brown's out here campaigning to acquire Julio Jones. Meanwhile, it's his college teammate, DK Metcalf, who could actually make it happen. Kimberly, whether it's about a Seahawks and Julio Jones trade, or just in Julio Jones trade in general, what are people around the league saying about the possibility?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Field, everybody says Julio Jones is phenomenal, but the price is too high. A lot of teams I've spoken to have said a one, I don't know if, I would love to add him. However, giving up a one top tier draft capital, I don't know. I'm hesitant to do it because of, his age, the injury history. I know two teams in particular, the Ravens and the LA Rams, they would like to add Julio Jones, but again, it's about the price. And if you're an opposing team and you're looking at adding Julio Jones, the Falcons are desperate to move him, desperate to sign their draft class. You might look at that and say, why would we give up a one? We know how desperate you are. You need to bring that price down. So it'll be interesting to see what he actually does go for, Field.
Swagoo, did I see you raising your hand in there to get back in with something, or was that me making things up?
Yeah, man, I'm giving up a one. That's all I wanted to say. I'm giving up a one.
Yeah.
I'm a guy that likes to deal with knowns. That's just me. I'm a guy that likes to deal with knowns. The one thing I do know, all right, barring health, that's the question for every player in the NFL.
Julio Jones
is going to play like a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. We know when he's healthy. When he's healthy, there are a few receivers who are better. The question another team has to ask itself is, do you know, Swagoo, that he will be healthy? You don't know. You know that you might get 1 year. You could get 4 years. But as one NFL head coach told me, that you're playing with fire. Because when wide receivers, when corners drop off, they drop off quick. So it's got to be a team that is on the doorstep of the Super Bowl, that feels it is right there, and Julio puts them over the edge.
Yeah.
But there are a few teams that fit that bill.
Yeah, I'll just say one more thing about Seattle. In addition to pleasing Russell Wilson, which I think you can't underestimate, you don't want to have that kind of drama right. They had earlier in the season. Another reason why I think fan base should be happy if they sign Julio is that it means they're going to continue throwing the football. There's a lot of jokes around this team and how run heavy they were in the past, but last year they were passing on early downs at a rate higher than most of the NFL. You're not trading a first or second for Julio Jones to go back to the old pound the rock philosophy. You got three, sometimes four wide receivers on the field on many downs. And I think for Seattle, that is the best way to approach the offense.
I can just see Pete Carroll sitting here like, oh, yeah, we're not going to pound the rock. Me and I'll show you what happens. We got Julio Jones and DK and Tyler Lockett. All right, so the Seahawks may have interest in Julio Jones. But let's run through some teams that should right now be calling up new Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot and say, hey, we'll give you a first-round pick to acquire Julio Jones or some other juicy package. Kimberly, we'll start with you.
Okay, I'm going with other juicy package. I don't want to give up a one. But I think, Field, I think everybody in the NFC West, we already talked about the Seahawks and why it makes sense. A team like the Rams, I've been told, they love their offense as it is. They don't feel hard-pressed to add a Julio. But I think a Rams team, they've shown that they've put all their chips to the middle of the table, and they're going for right now with Matt Stafford. And obviously, in that division, that's tough. You need some playmakers.
Yeah, I think Tennessee is an obvious candidate for Julio because
Tennessee.
They need Julio after losing Corey Davis behind A.J. Brown. They need another wide receiver. They're also in a division that's very winnable, the AFC South, pretty much the opposite of the NFC West. If they can get an edge in the offense, I think they can definitely win the division.
Y'all, I'm going to be real with y'all. I don't want to talk about nobody but the Baltimore Ravens looking for a wide receiver. Man, they signed Dez Bryant. They better be looking to get Julio Jones if he's available and putting up what they need to put up on the table. Listen, Lamar Jackson is getting closer and closer to that rookie deal being up. You are no longer going to be able to make a amount of moves that you potentially can right now. Go get Julio Jones, Baltimore. DaCosta, get on the phone. Bashade, I'm going to call you. Get him.
We've got this rule. It's one of the few that all NFL reporters, analysts, and hosts must mention is that if there's a potential trade, you have to mention the Patriots, right? They're always aggressive. They had an aggressive offseason. They could probably stand to add one more wide receiver. Apparently, Julio Jones has an affinity for Cam Newton, a couple of guys who've been in this league for a long time and admired each other. I don't know that it makes that much sense for the Patriots, maybe given all the other spending already, but I do think it will be a whole lot of fun to see him on that Patriots offense that is already revamped. We continue our series of Adam Schefter's 10 biggest offseason questions with question number 5. Today's topic focuses on the defending champs.
Can and will the Bucs repeat? As good as Tampa was last season, it figures to be even better this season.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Bucs win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, you are the GOAT.
None of this assures a repeat, hardly. But the Buccaneers are as well positioned as they can be for one. Tampa was the rare Super Bowl champion that did not have its roster raided in free agency.
We're going to keep this band together. Your ain't going nowhere. Your ain't going nowhere either.
Yeah! Every Buccaneer starter is back for this season, not to mention the return of injured players such as tight end O.J. Howard. Additionally, Tampa extended Tom Brady, franchised Chris Godwin, re-signed Rob Gronkowski, and kept other veterans such as Shaq Barrett and Lavonte David. And if the Bucs were able to run it back, as the Chiefs were saying 1 year ago,
we ain't running it back, we going for two.
I love these guys so much, and we're gonna win this thing again, all right?
They would become the first NFL team to repeat since Tom Brady and the Patriots in 2003 and 2004.
Based off of last year, the 2021 regular season schedule looks quite friendly to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay's opponents had a combined win percentage of just 465 last season, the fourth lowest amongst teams in this year's schedule. It's important to point out again, the Bucs will return all 22 offensive and defensive starters from their win in Super Bowl 55. All right, Kimberly, you get the first shot at this one. What do you say to a Bucs repeat?
So you're asking me whether the team that is quarterbacked by Tom Brady, that returned everybody on their roster, that didn't won the Super Bowl after not having an offseason, now has an offseason, and everybody has more experience playing together, if they can repeat? Mm-hmm. Damn sure they can repeat. I'm all in on Tom Brady because people have tried to say this guy is done for years. I will not bet against Tom Brady. And I know that Swaggy and Mina are probably going to give you a lot of stats about how this is very unlikely. But I'm riding the Bucs train. Like, I think this team is set to repeat.
Yeah, it certainly is a loaded roster. Marcus, let me ask you, though, what's the most important piece in order for the Bucs to repeat next season?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's their defense, babyface. And look, I know all of the talk will be about this offense and how fast they can get going and how good they'll be. But this defense was the catalyst for a Super Bowl last year. And these guys are young, as you can see. Winfield, 22. Devin White, obviously becoming one of the top three linebackers, in my opinion, in the NFL. You look at this team currently constructed. And this, too, this is something that came to mind when we started talking about this. I don't believe that Tampa Bay won a Super Bowl and then Jason Light and Bruce Arians decided, we're going to bring everybody back. Right? Like, I just got to give some, like, a different thought process to, I think these guys were planning this beforehand. I think they saw what they had in this team. We all talked about how good this defense was before Tom Brady came to the Buccaneers. And obviously, he added a bunch of leadership, championship pedigree. But this defense on the field, playing the game, was the catalyst for this Super Bowl, and they'll be the most important part to a Super Bowl next year as well.
So, I mean, a lot of support so far for the Bucs, no surprise. But if something were to hold them back next year, what could it be?
I think the most fragile part of the roster, the most important part to repeating, would be the offensive line field. Brady was very well protected last season, and this is a very deep group. I mean, in the postseason, you saw Aaron Stinney, who was a backup guard, come in and play at a high level. They had young players, like, of course, Tristan Wirfs was arguably should have been in contention for Offensive Rookie of the Year. It's a terrific, terrific group of players. But we also saw last season that the gap in performance when Tom Brady was pressured versus when he was not pressured was enormous. He needs to have time in the pocket. Yeah. And I actually think it would be more devastating to the Bucs to either lose a player or see a dip in performance in the offensive line than amongst their skill players, where they're all so deep. Because Tom Brady can make it work with, you saw O.J. Howard coming back, a Scotty Miller, what have you. But if he was to lose some of that interior protection, I think this offense would struggle.
Yeah, they just go like 19 deep in terms of pass catchers on offense. It is truly ridiculous how much skill there is in Tampa Bay right now. And, of course, the defense shined most when it faced off against Patrick Mahomes, who, as we know, Patrick Mahomes burst onto the scene in 2018, joining Tom Brady and Peyton Manning as the only player to throw for 50 touchdowns in a single season in NFL history. He won an MVP award that year and followed it up in 2019 as Super Bowl 54's game MVP. He's the youngest player in the league to hold both of those awards. Now he enters his fifth NFL season. He's officially qualified as the league's all-time leader in career touchdown-to-interception ratio, throwing nearly five times as many touchdowns as interceptions. What's next for him?
The only record I have my eyesight on breaking, which would be, it'd be new this year, going 20-0.
Okay.
You know, it's not a record to be broken, I guess you'd say, but I think 19-0 is the record right now, so being able to go 20-0, be the first one to do that, that'd be awesome.
All right, Mina, so we're talking about 20-0 now, which, by the way, with that 17th game, for a second I was like, is he not predicting the Chiefs are going to have a first-round bye? No, 17 games. You got to factor that in. So, again, we're talking high society problems, Mina. What could be the Chiefs' Achilles heel?
Yeah, so again, to be clear, the Bucs and the Chiefs are the favorites. We are nitpicking at the highest level here, and the favorites for a reason. In the same way that I think the – well, actually, you know what? No, I'm going to actually I think a harsher point about the Chiefs, which is that their roster does have holes. Unlike the Bucs, where you're saying, well, if this person was to get injured and then his backup were to get injured, they'd be in trouble. The Chiefs actually are very top-heavy, the way they're built, so it's easier to find holes on this roster. So one that I would point out is the defensive line, particularly the edge rush. They did sign Jaron Reed. Of course, Chris Jones is one of the best defensive tackles in the game. But outside of them, Frank Clark has been a bit up and down, and after him, it is very thin. So pass rusher is the position I would be most concerned about with Kansas City. But again, they have Patrick Mahomes, who covers up just about every hole that exists.
Yeah, I think Mina Mina's clearly right, you know, the thin roster, especially on defense. But here's another thing. I think the schedule could be an issue for the Chiefs. When you talk about going undefeated, their first six games, they're playing the Browns, the Ravens. Look at it. Chargers, Bills, Washington. Like, every team knows that each week is going to be difficult, but that's a heavy gauntlet to start. And, you know, 20-0, that seems unrealistic. But I think schedule might be an issue for them as well.
Y'all, okay, stop the presses, because I know my mention's about to go stupid, okay? Listen.
Marcus, I got my phone ready.
Got the Chiefs as a favorite, but the best roster construction in the preseason belongs to the Cleveland Browns, okay? And it sparked my thought when y'all talked about, Mina talked about the thinness of this team, and it's some holes there. But when I look at this Cleveland Browns roster, I ain't talking about on the field.
On paper,
you start going, Kimberly.
I'm talking about on paper. Show me the loose leaf. Show me the loose leaf, because I got to see
Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. returning from injury.
Here we go.
Jarvis Landry. The tight ends were huge. We know what Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt is. This is arguably the best offensive line in the NFL. They signed Jadeveon Clowney. They brought in Hill and Johnson in the secondary. Randell Pitt healthy and ready to go. Denzel Ward healthy and ready to go, who's played magnificent when he's been on the field. Myles Garrett is better than anybody on the Chiefs team outside of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. I got them as dark horse Super Bowl contenders, and we're talking about the Chiefs potentially going 20-0. On paper right now in the NFL, on the AFC side, the Cleveland Browns have the best roster. Quote me.
Okay. I see on this Memorial Day, Marcus, he's trying to throw gas. He's trying to throw heat on this Memorial Day. Okay, I'll let him have that shot for a second. But the loose leaf shows me that when you look at quarterback and offensive line, that goes to the Chiefs. And there are certain positions that count more than just skill positions. Quarterback, the Chiefs having Patrick Mahomes makes this conversation 100%. Like moot. It really does. So, Cleveland fans, do not get him up in my mentions about, like, I've covered this team. I believe in the Browns. This is a very good roster and a very good organization on the come up. However, if we're just going to talk on paper, you can't tell me that the Chiefs, quarterback, offensive line,
we're not getting into a comparison.
No, we're not. We're just
we ain't,
not.
We ain't
no,
getting into no, a comparison.
You said it. No, I'm
with
not
Patrick
letting,
Mahomes.
No, not on Memorial Day, no. Mm-mm.
I'm talking about rosters. Yeah. I ain't talking about
Marcus,
Mahomes
I'll be the
Baker Mayfield.
I'll be the arbiter.
I'm talking about rosters.
What? Somebody else.
I'll be the party here since there's two of y'all. Marcus, you were like kind of sensitive about it. It was almost like you were nervous to say it. I'm not nervous.
Because
the Browns have a much better roster than Kansas City. Top to bottom. Every position group but the quarterback. They have a better they're the best offensive line in the NFL, maybe between them and Green Bay. The difference is Patrick Mahomes. I think the Chiefs are the favorite to win the AFC because Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the galaxy. But the notion that the Cleveland Browns have the best roster, it should not be a controversial one to me.
How about that? Our ratings in Cleveland are skyrocketing right now. Swaggy, what do you got? Last word for you, my friend. Not at all. That was it.
I don't need a last word. I'm done, babyface.
I love it.
The Cleveland Browns have a better roster.
The cases have been stated. So the Bengals welcomed Joe Burrow back to the field during OTAs. As the second-year quarterback got his first on-field rep since a major knee injury suffered on November 22nd. The prognosis for his health is very good, as the doctor who operated on Burrow recently told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Burrow is all systems go for week one. And with his health on track, Burrow can also focus on areas of improvement on the field. Burrow saying, and this was to SI.com, quote, there was some good and bad to the Bengals offense last season. Adding this, we need to be more explosive with play action passes. All of our downfield passes need to improve. I just wasn't as accurate as I was the year before down the field, and that was frustrating to me. Marcus, I'll start with you. What do you make of Joe Burrow's comments?
I like it. Listen, the unknown Joe Burrow that we all found out about at the LSU magnificent season and winning the national championship, it was built and based in offensive explosion. Like, this was what Joe Burrow did. This is how he ascended to the number one overall draft pick. And not only that, Cincinnati went out and drafted his favorite target during that time when he was prolific pushing the ball down the football field. Zach Taylor as well. He has to also acknowledge the fact that this is a part of what Joe Burrow needs to do in order for the Cincinnati Bengals to have success and look good moving forward, right? Like, this is still a young quarterback who suffered an injury. He's still going to have growing pains. There will still be things that he needs to improve upon. But Joe Burrow being realistic and truthful and acknowledging the fact that this is what made Joe Burrow to the rest of America needs to carry over into the NFL and with the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think that help that they got with Ja'Marr Chase and hopefully Mixon being back and healthy, fully healthy for the rest of the season, he'll make way in that regard. But we know Joe Burrow based on an explosive offense.
Yeah, we sure
don't get it twisted.
That's right. No doubt about that. They were incredible at LSU back two seasons ago. So, Mina, more specific to the downfield passing game, what are some of the areas that the Bengals can target to improve downfield?
Well, Field, this is it was a good piece of self-diagnosis from Joe Burrow, because I do think it is the area where he struggled the most last season. I mean, when you look at his performance on short and intermediate throws, as you'll see here, he was a top 10 quarterback. But when you go 20 yards plus, he ranked 31st in QBR. And you don't have to be the mayor of Easttown to solve this mystery, because there are a few obvious causes in – shout out to that show – finished last night. Excellent. There's a few obvious causes. One, you know, Joe Burrow does not have a cannon for an arm. But that said, as Marcus noted, he was very productive throwing the ball deep in college nonetheless, in part because he was better protected. We've talked a lot about the issues with the Bengals' offensive line. You need that time and protection to let routes develop downfield. And he also never really had the chemistry with his wide receivers we saw in college. As Marcus said, the Bengals had to address that directly by bringing his favorite deep target from LSU. And this is a stat that blows my mind. It blew my mind ahead of the draft. Ja'Marr Chase had the most touchdowns on 20-yard-plus throws of any wide receiver over the last two seasons. Ja'Marr Chase didn't play football last year. That is so crazy. Yeah. So if there's one thing they could have done to help Joe Burrow there, I think they chose the right solution. Now we'll see if it pans out this season.
Sounds like just what the doctor ordered. As we move from the Bengals to some quick reads, and Joe Burrow could be one of the players that might be on the Comeback Player of the Year list, let's run through everybody's favorite pick for Comeback Player of the Year. Kimberly, who you got?
Marcus and Mina set me up perfectly. I got Joe Burrow. And it's hard to say a former number one pick is the Comeback Player of the Year, but like we talked about, we saw glimpses of what Joe Burrow could be in 10 games before the injury, 5 300-yard passing games, 13 TDs, almost 3,000 passing yards. And what did they do? Like they said, they gave him back his favorite weapon from LSU. This is a no-brainer. Joe Burrow, he's going to have a big year.
Yeah, for me, Dak Prescott is the obvious candidate. We saw, of course, heartbreaking injury last season. He comes back with a well-stocked Cowboys offense to pick up right where he left off, playing at a level, one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he should be the favorite to win it.
Listen, one of the torchbearers for this running back position that we don't know how to address, but Saquon Barkley coming back. It's going to be huge. People are talking about the Giants being a really good football team on both sides of the ball and Daniel Jones needing to make a leap. Well, this guy is going to have a lot to do with that. Dynamic with the football in his hands, suffered that ACL tear, and now we're going to see Saquon at full strength.
Looking forward to seeing all three back on the field this season. There's a chance that both Aaron Rodgers and Julio Jones could be on the move this offseason, but here's why it is so important for a deal to happen after 4 o'clock tomorrow. If traded after 4 o'clock tomorrow, the Packers and Falcons will be able to spread out the dead money charges across the next two seasons, as opposed to taking the entirety of the charge this season in one lump sum. That would not be good. On ESPN.com, Broncos reporter Jeff Lagwell dug into a potential Rodgers to Denver deal.
Legwald said that sources suggested it would take 2 first-round picks, a second-round pick, and and additional players or picks to make it happen. In a world that Rodgers were to be traded to Denver, that would mean annual meetings with Patrick Mahomes, who recently weighed in on the Packers' MVP.
I mean, obviously, it'd be awesome. I mean, to have that challenge every 2 years times a year, every single year, it would be a great opportunity. I mean, he's a heck of a football player. He's been doing it for a long time that I've watched play and learned a lot from.
Absolutely.
Definitely, if he came to the AFC West, it would just make it a little tougher for us. But yeah, we're up for the challenge.
Mina, I don't have some like super thoughtful question. I just want to know, how good would Rodgers make the Broncos if he went there?
Oh boy, I'm laughing because I believe Patrick Mahomes, but at home, Chiefs fans are like, let's keep him in the NFC. Look, a cliche that gets thrown around a lot when we talk about football teams, especially ahead of the draft, is they're a quarterback away. 99% of the time, it's not true. With the Denver Broncos, it is absolutely true. They are a quarterback away, not just from contending, but winning a Super Bowl. With Aaron Rodgers, this is a top 3 team. I mean, we know on offense, they've got a lot of great skill players. Cortland Sutton coming back. We drafted Jerry Jeudy. Noah Fant's broken out. Decent offensive line. But it's the defense field that has me so optimistic about this group. Because last year, with all their injuries, they still finished 13th in efficiency. Now they bring back Von Miller. Shelby Harris and Bradley Chubb are still there. But notably in the secondary, the addition of Kyle Fuller. Callahan comes back from injury. Oh. They drafted Patrick Surtain. They signed Ronald Darby. They've got arguably the best safety duo in the NFL. To top it all off, Vic Fangio, who I think is the best defensive coach in the league, is their head coach and coordinating that defense. I mean, if you add Aaron Rodgers to the mix, night-night. I would not want to play that team, even if I'm Patrick Mahomes and I like the competition.
Sleep. First of all, I can't stand Mina Kimes. Because I have a whole different direction, but she almost made me just shut up and not say nothing, making it sound so good to Denver. But I'm gonna throw this out there too, y'all, which is wishful thinking because it's on the same side. But the New Orleans Saints, like, think about this now. They built this roster in order to try to get Drew Brees over the hump. And obviously made some moves to kind of elevate Drew because they knew that it was years on him and it was some things that they needed to overcome. Obviously using Taysom Hill in certain situations in this offense. Well, you know what happens when you get Aaron Rodgers in New Orleans? You don't ever have to put Taysom Hill at quarterback unless you just want to, as Sean Payton. You know what else happens? Everybody else on that offense immediately gets better. We talk about pairing him with a lot of good players, but remember, we didn't know who the hell Robert Tonyan was before the season started last year. That was Aaron Rodgers making waves for guys around him. So I look at this New Orleans Saints team, and I think about the process that they've been in for the past few years, setting it up in order to try to get Drew another Super Bowl. You had Aaron Rodgers. He not only elevates what you have, he compensates for some things that you may lack or have to give up in order to get him.
That's interesting. You talk about what you have to give up. As an NFL reporter, I love it. The idea of Aaron Rodgers in Denver, even Aaron Rodgers with the Saints, this makes it spicy and interesting. So I love the idea. I even love if he stays in Green Bay, right? But my question, the only thing I want to know is, to get somebody as great as Aaron Rodgers, what are you going to have to give up? Because if a Jamal Adams, if you can get 2 first rounders for,
legit,
if you can get 2 first rounders and a third rounder and a QB for Matt Stafford, you know, what are you going to have to give up for Aaron Rodgers? It's going to be huge. And if I'm Green Bay, I want it all. I want some players. I want some picks. And that's a lot to give up.
I got to be honest with you, though. I don't have a team that I am actually the general manager of. But if I did, I would just say, as many picks as you want, you can have it. It's Aaron Rodgers. That guy is super ridiculous, even at the age of 37. We've got time for one more thing, and this is definitely like a hard pivot from Aaron Rodgers. Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer found himself in the middle of a wrestling match this weekend.
Come on, come on, come on. Hit your ball. Come on. Not out! Come in,
Thank you. Ah, God. Can you borrow your laptop? Thanks, sir.
You got it.
Please.
Holy. I think Jericho could give you some snaps at tight end. That got us thinking, though, by the way. Which NFL coach would you least want to face off against in a wrestling ring, Mina?
This is a no-brainer. Dan Campbell. Did you guys hear this man when he was hired by Detroit?
Crying.
Kimberly's like, well, yeah, here I am. I'm going to talk about him, too. He wants his players to bite people's kneecaps. You don't want to be in a ring with that guy? Protect your kneecaps.
Yo, this is super boring, my answer, but it's Mike Vrabel, y'all. Y'all know how tough this dude is, man. Like, his reputation precedes itself. Now, hopefully, it's wrestling and ain't nobody really getting beat up bad. But when you look at Mike Vrabel, he's not far removed from the NFL. Still looks like he can play. Hell, they giving people chances to play after being out for 8 years. I know damn well Mike Vrabel can still win a couple battles.
Literally crying from that Jaguars video. But listen, my sneaky pick, Brian Flores. You know why? We're both from Brooklyn. We went to private school, but don't get it twisted. We are scrappy, and we will bite some kneecaps as well. So Brian Flores, I wouldn't want to stand in front of that dude.
Brian Flores is one tough guy. Hey, Bills coach Sean McDermott, I have not forgotten about you. Happy Memorial Day. Thank you to all who so nobly served our country.